enemies might escape. And he had to clean the store. He needed more daylight. So what do you do when you need more daylight? You pray the impossible.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Pastor Brian Grant is continuing his series through the book of Acts with a message that is third in a mini-series on the topic of practical or progressive sanctification. Pastor Grant is calling this mini-series God's Construction Program. In previous messages on this topic, we have heard of five means God uses to change the believer in ways that model Christ. And today, Pastor Grant will share with us one more way in which God actively works in the life of the believer to produce change. His message is entitled, Under Construction, Part 3. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 19 and listen with us as Pastor Grant speaks to us about the refinement of Christian character through the means of trials. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Your first flight, she says, no, this is not my first flight. I fly at least two or three times a year. So I figured, okay, I'm good to go. If she flies two to three times a year, she couldn't be that bad. I did encourage her to pray. I said, lean back. I said, here's, every time I come on, I lean back and I pray. Why don't you just sit back and pray? Well, she prayed. But she wasn't kidding. She really was afraid of flying. As the plane started down the runway, she grabbed a hold of me. You would think she was my wife. She held on tight. And once we leveled off, she looked at me and she said, I guess you think my faith is weak. Really? Soon we hit some bad weather. And she, I'd never been through this before. She started trembling. She was trembling. She was groaning. And then every now and then she shouted. And people were staring at us like we were man and wife. Why couldn't I control my wife? She was so nervous. She was now holding on to me with both hands. And she wanted to throw. I had to do something, so I decided to lead her in a prayer. I said, repeat after me. And I led her through the prayer. I figured if I led her through a nice long prayer, it worked. She didn't throw up. Soon we landed. I saw her at baggage claim. I encouraged her to do certain things the next time she flies, and to keep on looking to God and trusting in God. And she said, yes, she would keep asking God to help her. But then as she walked away, she says, but I know nothing is going to change. I'll always be afraid of flying. And you know, I'm going to keep on praying, but I don't expect anything to change. Do you know that there are some people who do not believe God can change them? Some people don't believe that God can totally transform their life. This morning, I want to finish this series. We've been going through this series about under construction, because the beautiful thing for you to know this morning, my friend, if you're here and you really want to change, the good news is that God has the power to change you. And the minute we come to Jesus Christ and receive his salvation, he begins changing us. He immediately sanctifies us. That's a big word. You can get the message on that if you'd like, because I don't have the time to go back into that. But he immediately sanctifies us positionally. And then he begins the process of what we call progressive or practical sanctification, where every single day God is changing us and he's making us more like Jesus. Amen? No, we don't get saved one day and become like Jesus the next day. It's a process. God is working on us. Little by little, he's changing us. Thank God he's not finished with us yet. We are under construction. And so far we have covered 5 points that are in your notes, and since they're in their notes, I'm not even going to mention them. But today I want to add 2 other points to what are in your notes as to the process. God's program of transformation, God's program of sanctification, this process of progressive sanctification. Here's point number 6, the refining of trials. The refining of trials. As you study Paul's missionary journeys, you cannot miss the fact that he was constantly facing trials. In almost every city, a new trial was waiting for him. Have you noticed that as we've gone through going through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, particularly with Paul's journeys, every single city, something new is waiting for him, some new trial. And in today's passage, we find him in Ephesus, and he and his companions are in deep trouble because the gospel was hurting the pocketbooks of those who made man-made gods. And these guys were fighting back. And Demetrius, he obviously was making tons of money and making statues of the godhead, of the goddess Artemis, or Diana, as some Bibles call it. He made statues of Artemis, Diana. And business had started declining because people who got saved no longer had need of a man-made god. Amen. They had come to meet a God who is alive. Are you glad that you have met a God who still lives? Amen? He's alive. He's not some God that we put together. Some little statue. For the life of me, I can't quite get it. How I could really believe something that I made, I carved with my hands and I put on a shelf. How could I believe that is God? I am so glad that we have met the living of the true God, the one who made us, not the one who we made. Demetrius was determined to put a stop to Paul and his message. So he got all the silversmiths together. And in verse 27 of the passage, Acts chapter 19, he tells them there is danger, not only that our trade will lose its good name. In other words, that we may lose our money, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis or Diana will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia, will be robbed of her divine majesty. He put a little religiosity behind his desire to make money. But this created quite an uproar. And your brother Merv did such a wonderful job reading it. But it created such an uproar that Paul and his friends were seized and were brought before this large mob. And they were not there. They were not there just to smile at them. Paul and his friends were in serious trouble. But let's look at what happens here in verse 32. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. Did it strike you when he was reading that? It still blows my mind that there are so many people who are just crowd followers. People who make decisions based on what other people are doing. And if you stop and ask them, why did you do that? Why did you make that decision? I have absolutely no idea. Somebody else, I was just following. What a crazy way to live. And do you know, sometimes there are people in churches who are making decisions, who are living lives of mediocrity because they're following somebody else. Somebody else is not a fired up Christian. They're not on fire for Jesus. And so you say, well, if that's how they are, I can go along. Oh, don't make a decision based on that. But even a greater tragedy is that there are people here today who are not saved because you're following somebody else or you have followed somebody else. No wonder the Bible says, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. You understand what's the problem? The problem is that there are so many people following somebody else that there are some who so far have not taken Jesus Christ as their Savior. I need to ask you, what have you done with Jesus? Have you received Him for yourself as yet? Or are you following the many who have said no to Jesus? Would to God this morning you would come to the foot of the cross and take Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. But trials, and I'll come back to the story in a moment, but trials are not just for Paul and the early church. Part of God's construction program for every Christian includes trials. Trials are productive. Trials are productive. They are painful, but they are not destructive. They are productive. They will not destroy you. Amen? Listen, are you going through a trial? I don't want you to miss this. Trials will not destroy you. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. It's going to be put on the board for you, but make sure you make this sing deep in your soul. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Consider it what? Pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that what? The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Notice, trials are actually productive. They're producing something. They produce perseverance. And then he says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Trials produce perseverance, and God is letting us know that perseverance is critical for our spiritual maturity.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550.
Here's your special invitation to join Pastor Grant under the Big Tent Sunday, June 12th at 7 p.m. at 605 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. Meetings continue nightly, except Tuesday, at 7 p.m. Join us in this special outreach to share the life-transforming message of Christ with our community. We're conveniently located less than 15 minutes from Manayunk, Willow Grove, and Fort Washington. Please join us in prayer for a mighty movement of the Spirit of God. For details, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You know, eagles know how important this is. I told you the story before, and I'll tell it to you again. When it's time for the baby eaglet to fly, Mama Eagle wraps her mighty talons around the baby and lifts off into the sky, and Mama Eagle flies, goes up 2 miles high approximately. And when Mama is 2 miles up, she releases the little baby, and here's this little baby eaglet. He's tumbling, he's screaming. Can you just imagine him? He realizes the earth is coming awfully fast, and he's surely going to die. But the entire time that he's going through these trials, Mama Eagle is looking on. Mama Eagle is totally focused on baby eagle. Mama Eagle doesn't intervene. Mama Eagle allows baby eagle to tumble and to cry. But just at the right time, Mama soars and she takes a dive, and she dives below the baby. And after she's below the baby, she opens her massive wings and she positions herself perfectly at the right time, at the right spot, and plop! Baby eagle lands on her wings. She's not done yet. She's going to keep repeating that process over and over until baby eagle learns how to fly. But baby eagle goes through some scares. Baby eagle goes through some trials, some challenging times. And I want you to know this morning that God is determined that you will fly. And for you to fly, God is going to let you go. He's going to pass you through some trials. Oh, I wish I had time this morning to talk to you about my visit to the potter's house. I'll tell you about that another time, that we just went to visit the potter's house and we became potters. Oh, there are some incredible lessons I could tell you about being there and actually being the potter. God is going to pass us through trials because trials are productive. Just as that eagle opens its wings, my Bible tells me that my God is able to bear me on eagle's wings. Hallelujah. He is not going to, listen, trials are not destructive. Never ever lose sight of that. Trials are not destructive. Sometimes he'll make us face what seems like an insurmountable trial. But fear not, he's actually producing something positive through these experiences. So let me give you quickly, let me give you three tools on how to handle insurmountable trials. Do you mind if I give you three quick tools on how to handle insurmountable trials? And as I do this, I want us to take a look at an unusual passage of scripture. Flip in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10 is where we're going to look at, and we're going to move along quite quickly. So sometimes it's good to get them to buy the messages, you know, because you can go over some of what we covered, because as you can see, I am not necessarily the slowest speaking person in the world. Joshua chapter 10. You know, in Joshua chapter 9, Joshua had made an ill-advised peace treaty with the Gibeonites. And so in chapter 9, he made an ill-advised treaty. He didn't consult God, but they made a treaty with the Gibeonites. And now five neighboring kings had decided to attack Gibeon. And so Joshua, being an honorable man, he now had the responsibility of defending Gibeon. This was really, can you imagine, five kings versus one. This was really a trial. Five powerful kings. Joshua is now going to have to go up against them. But I'm going to suggest to you, here are three things we can learn from Joshua chapter 10. Number one, when we are facing insurmountable trials, first of all, cling to God's promises. Amen? Cling to God's promises. Joshua chapter 10, verse 6. You got it? Here's what it says. The Gibeonites sent word to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up quickly and save us. Help us, because the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us." So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including his best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." Man, I tell you, God promised Joshua that he had delivered the enemy into his hand. But sometimes, although God has done a deliverance, he still needs you to fight. Joshua still had to fight. But isn't it great to fight knowing God has already promised success? Amen. Do you know that God has promised us success? Romans chapter 8, put it up on the board. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Romans 8, I hope if you don't know this scripture. There are some scriptures you need to memorize, and here is a passage of scripture. Every young person, every older person needs to memorize this. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And what? And we what? And we know that all things work together for what? Oh, hold it. What did it say? All things work together for good. So the trial, even in that trial, God is saying that trial is productive. It says it's working together for good to those who love God. Now, it's not for any and everybody. He's talking about those who love God, those who are saved by the grace of God, those who God has positionally sanctified. Listen, he says, for he whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God has already determined in advance, the moment you got saved, he has already determined you're going to look like Jesus one day. Amen. So God is working everything for your good. So my good friend, I don't know what your issue is right now. Oh, I know in a congregation of this size, there are people going through all sorts of trials. Some of it is a medical trial. Some of it is a financial trial. Some of it's a job-related trial. Some of it is family issues. Some of it, your marriage is falling apart. Cling to God's promises. In all these things, God is working all these things together for good. Can you trust God? Oh, you know, it's good to be able to trust God in the good times, but it's better to be able to trust Him in the bad times. Amen? Number two, cling to God. Not only cling to His promises, but cling to God. It's good to hold on to the promises given, but it's even better to hold on to the promise giver Himself. Amen. Oh, I love holding on to the promises of God, but oh, I want to hold on to God, the one who gives the promises. Joshua was, in the story, Joshua was winning the battle. So the war is going on. Joshua is winning, but daylight was running out. Some of you might remember this story. Some of you, this may be the first time you've ever read it. And Joshua needed to finish the job. He realized that if night fell, some of the enemies might escape, and he had to clean the store. He needed more daylight. So what do you do when you need more daylight? You pray the impossible. So he prays to God. Look at verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of the Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself of its enemies. What a bold prayer. Have you ever been there? Stop. You heard my question? Have you ever been there? You say, where, Brother Brian? Have you ever been in such a tough place that you started praying some bold prayers?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-4100. 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.